Welcome to another edition of the Advocacy in Action series, which focuses on the people, policies, and activities in Columbus and Washington, D.C. that stand to impact your business. I'm your host, John Rizzo, VP of the Akron Can Advocacy Alliance, and today we're holding a conversation with a candidate for the Ohio House, Mike Cahill, as part of a broader effort to provide information to members regarding the November general election. Welcome, Mike.
Morning, John. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. So to get started, could you just briefly provide your background, your experiences that kind of motivated you to run for office?
Absolutely. So I got started in somewhat of an interesting way. I was actually only 17 at Revere High School when I think, like a lot of Americans and Ohioans, I got upset with the level of transparency at our local school board. And so as a 17-year-old, I ran for the Revere School Board. And in November of 2019, I was elected at only 18 years old to the Revere School Board. Now, I didn't pick a very easy time to get elected to the school board. You know, I got sworn in January of 2020. 3 months later, COVID happens, kids get sent home. It was a challenging time on the school board. And that's sort of when I began to really enjoy public service, because we were one of the first school districts in the state of Ohio that got our kids back into school. And that's what made me realize you can really have an impact in public service as an elected official, because I do think we did a lot to help children in that role. That sort of went on. They appointed me to the Cuyahoga Valley Career Center School Board, and then that took me to Columbus to work for the Lieutenant Governor in the Governor's Office of Workforce Transformation, where we handled workforce policy, really making sure that our school systems are preparing students for the workplace and getting them jobs when they graduate. So did that for about 2.5 years, most recently under Jim Tressel when he became Lieutenant Governor. And then last year, you know, the seat, Bill Romer, was term limited and he couldn't run again. And there were a number of people in the community that reached out to me and asked me to move home and run for state representative. And after spending some time thinking about it, I realized it was the best thing to do. You know, I think, and we'll talk more about it, but our biggest problem in Northeast Ohio, and I see it as a young person, is we have way too many people leaving here. And there's things we can do to control that. And that's why I'm running, and that's what I'm going to work on.
Great. And knowing that you're talking to a Chamber of Commerce audience, business community, you mentioned a couple different roles in government. How would you say that those roles have helped shape your understanding of what employers need across the state, whether that's workforce or otherwise?
Yeah, so I spent, you know, years traveling the state and Northeast Ohio, talking directly to employers, to hiring managers, and to employees. And that is the number one thing you hear is we are struggling to hire enough people to do the job here in Northeast Ohio. I think that's an issue that Northeast Ohio is feeling even more than some other parts of the state. And then, you know, at the same time, I traveled to all of our different career centers around the state and got to see some of the great work they're doing preparing students for those in-demand jobs. One cool thing I like to call out is, you know, you walk into the career center, you see the same robotics and same tools when you walk into a shop floor of a manufacturing plant, and you get to see, you know, those students are learning on the same exact tools that they're going to actually be using in the workplace.
That's great. Just to take a step back, the role of a state legislator, being a member of the House, from your perspective, what is that role? How would you define that? And how would you approach taking office if you're successful in November?
Yeah, so there's, you know, there's about 110,000 people in the 31st district. And I think in short, my job is to listen. And so you go around, you knock on doors, you make sure everybody has your cell phone number so that when they have an issue or they need something from the government, they can just call you. So I think first and foremost, my job is to be accessible and to be there when people need help here. Obviously, you know, there's the lawmaking part of this too, and it's to do the right thing for Northeast Ohio, which right now I think is making this a better place for people to live, work, and raise a family, which means better schools. It means making sure that we have a tax environment and keeping things affordable so that people don't want to leave here, and also keeping things safe. But really just common sense key issues are going to be things I focus on.
No, that's great. We'll just stick on key issues. You know, over the next 5-10 years, what do you see as being Ohio's biggest economic challenge? And how would you, as a state legislator, or how do you think the state as a whole should respond to it?
Yep. So, and I'm going to try not to get too nerdy with you on this, but I think our
number
number one challenge in Ohio, and it's also true across the country and really around the world, is it's driven by demographics. So we have more people that are coming to retirement age than people that are turning 18. And as of now, it's not looking like that's going to change. Our birth rate is only 1.7, which isn't enough to sustain the population. So we have a people problem in Ohio. We don't have enough people, which means we don't have enough workers. And so the solution to address that is going to be, one, making Northeast Ohio a more desirable place for people to move to and stay in. I talked a little bit about how we do that, but, you know, two is going to be our education system, making sure that we get as much productivity. And when people graduate, they're ready for work and they can go directly into the workplace, or they can go to college, they can go to the military, but making sure that they're ready and they have a plan. On the higher ed level, it's making sure that we retain all of these students that we educate. So, you know, the taxpayer helps fund every student that goes to Ohio State, Miami, other large institutions in Ohio. But then, you know, half of them leave and go start their career in another state. We can do a much better job at keeping those people here rather than letting them leave. And I think the last thing is, we have people in poverty across Northeast Ohio that are receiving government benefits, whether it's SNAP, Medicaid, publicly funded childcare. And we need to do a better job of supporting those individuals so that they can get a higher paying job and work their way up the career ladder. And right now, there's just too many obstacles. And the number one problem is what's called the benefits cliff. And so there's people receiving publicly funded childcare dollars that if they accept a raise from their employer, they're actually going to see a bigger decrease in their government benefits than the increase that they get in that raise. They'll see a net loss in income. There's absolutely no incentive for them to take that raise. So that's a big problem. And really, I think if we do all those things right, we grow our workforce in Ohio, and that allows us to continue kind of the economic momentum I think we've seen over the last couple decades.
No, that's great. You touched on a number of important points: workforce, childcare. Your time in the Lieutenant Governor's office, I'm sure, gave you some exposure to economic development and, you know, different conversations around Ohio's competitiveness. As a member of the legislature, what would your vision be to make Ohio more competitive from an economic development standpoint, not just to individuals, but maybe employers looking to locate a business?
Yep. So I think that workforce issue we spoke about is probably number one that I hear when businesses are thinking about coming to Ohio is, can you provide the workforce that I need? Number two in Northeast Ohio, I think our challenge is probably site readiness and making sure that we have sites available for companies to move to should they choose. And the example I use, I grew up in Richfield, and it used to be a trucking hub. And now we have a bunch of abandoned truck sites around the village that haven't been touched in decades, and they look terrible. And there's work that the state needs to do to help fund those sites to be redeveloped so that they're ready for something to be built there. And so I think that's a big role that government can play so that business can more quickly make decisions and get started here in Northeast Ohio.
Is there a specific opportunity that you see positioning either your district or this broader region for growth that you look forward to engaging in?
Yes. So, you know, the polymer industry in Akron is one that has a huge potential for growth. I think this area has both the history, and currently it has all the people, all the groups on board polymers. And so I think when you get people in Northeast Ohio all focused on a singular issue, and right now it's the chamber, it's other groups, they're focused on polymers. If we can stay focused on that, we can grow the polymer industry significantly here in Akron.
Awesome. Related to small business and entrepreneurship, again, a lot of the things that we just talked about would actually support their development and growth. From a policy perspective at the state level, what's the most important thing you think that state government can do to support small businesses and entrepreneurs?
Yep. So I grew up, my father started a small business. And so I remember being a young boy, and he'd come home and he'd be complaining about something new that the government's regulating his small business on. And that government regulation can make it hard to get a business off the ground. It makes it hard to continue to grow it. And so I think the state's role here, and my role as a state representative, is going to be work with the business community and small businesses to identify those regulations that are getting in their way. And then we need to eliminate them so more businesses grow right here.
Great. On workforce, again, I know we've talked about it, but maybe could you just go a little deeper on, you know, a variety of programs that you think are working? You know, your time in state government gave you exposure to a number of programs, both funded by the state operating budget, but also just proposed legislatively. What do you think's working? What else do you think the state can or should be doing?
Yep. So one program I'll talk about is called TechCred. This is a program I worked really closely with in the governor's office, and it's up to $2,000 per credential. It pays for current employees to go get training in any sort of technical skill, so that then after completing that training, they go back to their employer. They're often getting a raise. They're more productive. It's really a win-win for everybody. You have an employee that has more skills. The employer's getting more out of them, you know, and it's good for the state's economy as well. So I think TechCred's an example of a program that's easy to use for the business community, and it actually works. That is often our challenge in government, is we create a program that sounds great, that nobody can use because the government bureaucracy gets involved and makes it just impossible for businesses to actually benefit from. So TechCred's, I think, the first example. There's also a number of internship programs currently at the state level. There's a high school and a college tech internship program that are paying businesses a portion of the wages they pay to interns in the state of Ohio. Again, the goal being if someone gets an internship in Ohio, they're that much more likely to accept a job offer when they graduate and stay here. I think that's a great use of state dollars, and that's a program I'd be looking to expand. You know, I want to see a future where every single college student in the state of Ohio gets an internship right here in Ohio. So if we do that, we get employers more comfortable with the individual, and hopefully they're making job offers before anybody even graduates college. So your first job offer is an Ohio job offer, and we keep more people here.
Great. No, those are great issues to be thinking about, because if you take office in January with the state operating budget kicking off pretty much immediately, continued funding for TechCred, ISPs, the internship programs, all of that's going to be on the table. So good to hear that you're already thinking about those. In terms of taxes, regulation, fiscal policy, big or small, you know, what tweaks or changes would you make or would you prioritize that would impact businesses across the state?
Yeah. So I think Ohio has done a very good job over the last couple of decades of creating a very business-friendly tax and regulatory environment. We went from something like 43rd in the nation to 7th in the nation in business friendliness over the last couple decades. I think that's great progress. I'm going to work with the business community to see where we can improve that. But I think going sort of back to that workforce and that people issue is, I'll talk a little bit about property taxes and say we have to have a better property tax system so that we're not driving people out of Ohio, because driving those people out of Ohio takes away employees from businesses here. So I think we have work to do on our property tax system so people don't continue to see huge spikes and increases. And at the same time, we have to fund our schools really well.
Yeah. So you mentioned property tax. There's been conversations about municipal income tax. I think both and more speak to a general theme of stability and predictability in policy and law. For the business community, that's paramount. From your perspective, as you think about priorities going into the next operating budget, where does ensuring stability and predictability fall on your list of priorities?
So I think that's very important, and that's why you've probably noticed from what I've what I've said so far. I'm not one to just talk about partisan issues. The things I'm focused on are really nonpartisan. They're bipartisan. And those are the best types of issues, because when we can get Republicans and Democrats at the table to agree, that creates certainty for Ohioans and for businesses, because they know no matter who's in charge, everybody agrees on these issues. And so when we could pass legislation on education, on workforce, that we get, you know, strong consensus on, it's good for everybody. It creates that stability, and people know it won't change in the future if a different party's in control.
No, that's great. And again, knowing that there's an operating budget on the horizon, you mentioned site development, you mentioned workforce and funding for a variety of programs. Beyond site development, are there other economic development investments that you feel the state can and should be making in the coming years?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a matter regionally looking at what's most important. In Northeast Ohio, I think that's sites. I also know, you know, one of our advantages in Ohio is we have Jobs Ohio, and they work with private companies to attract them to Ohio. And one of the reasons they work is they can move at the speed of business. And that means the government does not move at the speed of business. And that's just something I think you have to realize in this business, is government cannot move as quickly as business does. And so the state created Jobs Ohio. They can do that. They're a private entity. And so they can move more quickly. And I think that's one of the reasons we've been so successful. And so we just need to continue that partnership with Jobs Ohio.
Great. Looking ahead, making your case to voters, we know each other, but many people listening this podcast might be their first intro to you. Just as a person, why should they, as constituents, trust you to be their representative down in Columbus?
Yeah, I think I have a history of doing what I say I'm going to do. When I ran for school board, I ran on transparency, and you know, we ended up recording our school board meetings and making sure that everybody could see what we were doing, and then moving on to working in the governor's office of workforce transformation. Like, we delivered real results for Ohio. I point to the $300 million that we spent to expand career tech education around the state. There's tens of thousands more students that are going to get to, you know, get those real hands-on work experiences now in school that otherwise wouldn't have had it. And now, running for state representative, I want to continue that work, make sure that we bring great jobs to Northeast Ohio, and make sure that our schools prepare students to fill those jobs that are coming. So if we solve that problem, you know, a good job solves a lot of problems for a family. If we can get good jobs and we make sure our schools are doing well, a lot of other things will fall in place. We'll see, you know, crime will go down over time. All of our other problems will start to fall in place. So I'm going to be hyper-focused on the jobs issue, education, and making sure that our students are prepared for those jobs that are coming.
Great. Well, before I give you an opportunity to provide some closing remarks and maybe a call to action for folks to get more information on you and your campaign, I want to do a few rapid-fire questions, and I'd like responses to be 3 seconds or less.
Okay.
What do you think is the biggest barrier to business growth in Ohio?
Workforce.
One policy you would change or implement immediately upon taking office?
Require that students write a resume before they graduate high school.
What's the industry with the most growth potential in the state of Ohio?
Manufacturing.
One word describing Ohio's economic future?
I'd say it's here now.
Biggest misconception about state government?
That we don't actually work for the people.
Great. Well, Mike, thank you for spending time with us today and just having a candid conversation with us. Any closing remarks and any insights on where people could go to learn more about you and the campaign?
Yep. So, you know, I welcome the opportunity to talk to people around Northeast Ohio and around the 31st District. This isn't a campaign that I can just run on my own. I need help, and I need the input of others to make sure that I stay on task. So if you want to get involved, you can go to MikeCahoe.com. And then from there, you can sign up to be a part of the team.
Right. Mr. Cahoe, thank you.
Thanks, John.
Take care.